There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Okay, good evening, everybody. Today's date is the 19th of November, 2013. And it is just about 2 minutes and 5 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Hopefully by now everybody's picked up on that we've changed the clock here in the USA, in the central part of the United States, because we do have an awful lot of people that listen outside of the country. And sometime in tonight's show, I think I'll read off some of those countries, because every once in a while somebody's curious just how many people and where everybody's listening. And, okay, wait a minute. All right, hold on a second. Okay, your mic's turned on. All right.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, you need to explain exactly what you want to... Okay, I'm trying to understand what you want to talk about tonight. What do you want to talk about again? Because I'm just... And see, folks, what you're getting now, this is what happens in the barn about 3 to 4 minutes before the show actually starts. That's when we decide. Okay, you want to talk about...
All right, very simply, we want to talk about how people are... this is what I get a lot. They're starting to recognize God. They are. They're very excited about seeing Him work in their lives, and especially when it comes to other people being able to help them, but there still seems to be a disconnect in getting actual prayers answered, especially when it revolves around
healing. So they see it work in others, but not in themselves.
Oh, especially around a healing.
And it frustrates them.
Yeah, but they see God working in other areas in their own personal life, but just especially their physical body.
Okay. Well, let's start over then.
Okay, go ahead.
We'll do it right.
You can turn my mic off if you want.
I already did.
There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. It's another Tuesday night. Today's date is the 19th of November, 2013, and it is about 5 minutes and 10 seconds after the hour on this Tuesday night. It is 8 o'clock here in the U.S., and we did do a time change, and so there's a few people around the globe that we probably ought to mention about a time change that we have here in the U.S. Tonight's show, we're going to cover this Some people think of it as a mystery. Some people, it may be melancholy or sad. Some people, it might just be perplexing, almost frustrating to the point of being mad, because possibly you lay hands on somebody and there's instant results. Perhaps you belong to a Bible study or a prayer group, or you listen to this radio show and you hear about instantaneous results, but yet they don't apply to you. And you work and you strive and you want it, and you know that it's yours, and you hear us talk about it being a gift, and you already have it, just use it and just sit down and relax, and you're working too hard. Well, all that sounds so easy, but yet you're logged on listening to tonight's show and you still are not receiving grace. And that's what you'll say. You'll say to Jim, I'm not receiving grace, or I've seen the anointing, I've seen it work, but yet it hasn't worked for me. So on tonight's show, we're going to talk about this to try to help you a little bit, do a little bit of, I guess you would call it Christian repair, Christian diagnostic, to help you figure out, because Jim, this happens a lot, doesn't it?
Oh, I mean, it would be, if it was a virus, it would be contagious all over the world. I mean, it's rampant in our circles. I mean, everybody I talk to, this is where they're striving to get to, and this is what they're perplexed about. And let's just go one step further. This represents probably 9.5 ministers out of 10.
Yeah, it does. And see, this is the big difference between... Why, you know, this is where people think I'm critical, or that I'm cynical when I say there's a difference between a church and a building.
Right, right. People don't listen to that like they should.
What was in that plastic container with the red lid?
You mean the green lid?
Yeah, what was that?
Those were pumpkin cookies with raisins in them.
Why didn't I get any?
Well, they were right there. You could have. I didn't eat one either.
You gave me a big bag of movie popcorn, but you didn't give me a cookie. Well, where'd they go? Did you put them back in your car?
No, they're not in my car. And I didn't have anything until I got over here to the ranch.
But you had some of those cookies? But you didn't give me one?
Well, I had a half of one. It was very good. Pumpkin with...
How? I don't know they're good. They're gone now. They're not even in the barn.
There's a whole bucket full of them right over there on your counter. They're on your counter, yes.
You know, we're off track again. You realize that.
You know, it's usually about food.
It is, isn't it?
It is.
Well, you know, there's only one thing we can do.
Just stop and go eat some.
All right, I'll tell you what. We need to, this is a serious subject, so I think there's only one thing that we can do.
Uh-huh.
You know, out of the respect to the people that are listening, if anybody's still listening. I think we need to start the show over and do it right.
Okay.
And go get me a cookie.
All right.
We'll get it right. Third time's a charm, folks, I promise.
There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose, to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Today's date is
the 19th of November, 2013. It's just about 10 minutes and 45 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock, and there's just, I can't do it.
It reminds me of Groundhog's Day.
I love that movie.
Pete and repeat.
It is, yeah. All right, let's see. Okay, we got it. Where are we? All right, hold on.
I can always read a scripture, you know.
I'm going to turn your mic off.
Okay.
All right, here we go, folks. Third time. And if you've just logged on, you have no idea what you've missed. But don't worry, it has nothing to do with being a Christian. It's just about understanding that you're listening to a minister and a horseman in a barn, in a real barn, in the middle of a large horse ranch. And so every once in a while, stuff happens. Okay, tonight, what we're going to talk about is we're going to try to help you as best that we can to understand what you have. And this is not an easy subject for us because it's trying to convince somebody that they have shoes on their feet. And they can't see their shoes and they can't feel their shoes. But yet we're trying to convince you that you have shoes. Because that's the grace. It's all over Scripture. It talks about how you're born a Christian and you're born with the love of God in you. You have it. And it can't be taken from you. The only thing that can happen is through your education, through your childhood, becoming a young adult, to a full-grown adult, is your lifestyle and the choices you make can actually choose yourself to ignore the grace in you. It's not gone, it's there. But yet you've chose not to acknowledge it. That's why the scripture is so profound and so important when it talks about there's nothing good of the flesh. There's nothing good of the world. There's no caveats. There's no exceptions to the rule. Why? Because it's absolute. Everything from God is absolute. So if you're made in His image, if He's your Father, and you're born with grace in you, and His only begotten Son's blood paid for all of your bad choices that you could ever create and follow through with your existence on this planet, what more could you possibly need? Except maybe some words from a stranger like myself or Jim, or maybe a fresh look at Scripture to understand that the frustration that you have, it's very frustrating to pray for someone or to lay hands on someone and see them walk or to see them hear or see, or the pain is instantly gone and you know that they're not making it up, that you can see the relief on their face. And then you think to yourself, well, if I can help someone else, why can't I get this for me? That is extremely disheartening, depressing, and I know for a fact that it would be so easy to give up. Because you've seen grace, you know there's a God, but yet you're trying to figure it out. Why in the world, if I can be a part of it for someone else, why can't I have it for me? And Jim, you run across this all the time. Yeah. We're not stopping, by the way. We're going for broke.
No, that was actually the third time was a charm. That was actually very good. A great description of what I wanted to talk about tonight. And I went ahead and turned over to Matthew 14 and verse 28, because I'm going to read this passage here, and I think it'll really open up a real nice big area in the Word of God for BJ and I to talk back and forth about what he shared just a moment ago. It says, "And Peter answered him," talking about Jesus, "and said," this is when Jesus was walking on the water, the disciples were fearful, and Jesus cried out and said, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out and said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Okay. So I really like something BJ made a comment about, and that is, one moment you're recognizing grace and you're ministering to somebody else and they're healed, and the next moment you question within yourself, well, then how come I'm still hurting? Which means at that very next moment, it's like you took a curtain and pulled it in front of your face, because in one moment you're recognizing God's grace, ministering to somebody else, you see them respond with healing, and in the next moment it's like taking the curtain and pulling it right between you and grace so that you can't see it, because this is exactly what's going on here with Peter. He literally got out of the boat and he walked on the water, and his gaze, his focus, his attention was on Jesus. And just that quickly, thoughts and feeling came to him to begin to look around. And when he looked around, he began to question. And just that quickly, he began to sink. Now think of the words, he began to sink. That means he didn't just plop, he's in the water.
No.
He began to lower, in like an elevator, going down, escalator, going down, he began to sink. Now, here's the interesting thing. Jesus hadn't changed.
No.
Grace hadn't changed. It was Peter that changed.
Yeah, it's like when Jesus went on that camping trip and he forgot to take his backpack and he hadn't had any food in 40 days.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't think about food or water or wine until somebody said, well, you haven't had a decent meal in about 4 weeks.
Yeah, what does this Italian bread smell like?
Yeah, and then so all of a sudden he says, well, wait a minute, you're right. And see, there's instances all over in Scripture about wavering,
mm-hmm.
about the teeter-tottering, 1 foot in, one foot out, between understanding of the flesh and understanding of the Spirit inside us all.
Right.
And this shows two things. It shows that it is a very small, insignificant, delicate balance between the flesh and the Spirit. And it has to be, because if sin, the devil, whatever you want to call him, has been defeated,
right,
and he's in the world's longest time out until right. the book of Revelations,
mm-hmm.
then that means that nobody can create sin for you. That you cannot be a victim of somebody else's choices, only your own.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you break this down to where, what is a choice?
Mm-hmm.
A choice is when you have a thought, and your thought makes you feel a certain way. So now you have a thought, and now you're feeling a certain way, and it gives you an idea.
Right.
So now you have a thought that's made you feel a certain way, and you've come up with an idea. Now you have a choice to make. Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? Is this going to be fun, or am I going to require some bail money?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going to be in the hospital?
Right.
And then you make a decision, and you act on it. You either think it's a good idea and you do it and everything is fine, or maybe not. Or you say, no, I don't think this is a good idea, and it ends there. And to verify this, to back it up, is when it talks about, it doesn't say after you've stolen, cut your hand off. It says what? If you think
before.
If you're thinking of taking something that doesn't belong
right.
to you.
Right.
Just cut it off.
Yeah, eliminate that.
It doesn't say to feel bad after you say something. What's it say, Jim?
Yeah.
Tell them what it says. It says if you think you're going to say something bad.
Oh, cut your tongue out.
And what's it say about, it doesn't say after you've looked at somebody.
Don't pluck your eyes out while you have the thought.
While you have the thought.
Right.
And think about that. The thought. It means before, when you have that thought, before it turns into a feeling, because a thought and a feeling are the parents of an idea. And the child of that idea, the grandparent, the grandchild of the thought, the feeling, and the idea that grandchildren is an action, to do something. And so think about what Scripture is saying there. That means that apply this to that self-diagnostic that we talked about either in the first, second, or third time that we started tonight's broadcast, where we talked about, said, where I said you need to sit down and do a self-diagnostic. Because if you're looking for a problem, if you're looking for someone that's responsible, it's you.
Yeah.
It's us. It's we.
Yeah, I find that same passage right here in James chapter 1. It really talks about this. Jesus, or James said, and this is all thoughts that come from the Lord, it said in verse 5, if you don't know, Message Bible, what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believing without a second thought. That's interesting. You know, this is coming down to something. I have to finish reading this, but it's coming down to something that's coming to my mind, and that is the weakness of our minds to be distracted. And I want to talk about people that haven't heard this in a long time. In a second here, I want to talk about the you and I working on the room next door with the screw, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because it's going to be helpful. People who worry, listen to this, people who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way. And I like this. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open.
It's talking about not pigeonhole yourself.
Yeah.
To stay creative and to be open-minded so that you can see what you have. You know, you can tell somebody how nice it is to have a shadow and how fun it is to look at your own shadow and how your shadow goes wherever you are. But if they're so busy looking at the sun, they'll never see their shadow. And I think this happens to people. They're so busy trying to be a Christian.
To have their healing.
They're so busy trying to be a Christian. They're so busy trying to be a good Christian. They're so busy trying to be with other Christians. They're so busy reading the Bible. They're so busy praying that they never just relax and realize that God's love is with them 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
It's been there since they were born. It's going to be there a heck of a long time after they're deader than a can of corned beef, and that they're actually in their own way.
Yeah, I think so too, and that's why I wanted to bring up that story about you and I, and we were working together on this thing in your...
Yeah, what it is I took a bunch of scrap wood from one barn, brought it into this barn, and I built a piece of exercise equipment.
Right.
And you would come over to talk about the guys and ask a bunch of questions and stuff. And I says, well, you know, just don't stand there. Help me. And so I was taking large bolts and screwing them into big pieces of wood with tools. And I said, go ahead and do that. And it squeaked.
Well, first tell them that you always put a little bit of petroleum jelly on the screw.
Yeah, to make it go through the wood
easier.
And it just
went through the wood easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and nothing squeaked
when you
did it.
So you saw me do it.
Yeah, and I did that too.
And it went in nice and fast, and it was dead quiet while I was talking and screwing in these big bolts.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay, you do one. And it squeaked every time you turned it. Squeak, 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 squeak.
And I stopped talking, and that's when you said, why'd you stop talking?
I said, why'd you stop talking about God?
Well,
because it's
squeaking. I'm waiting until it stops. I'm getting this thing screwed in.
And here's where it gets interesting, because what I did was, is I grabbed the wrench, and the same bolt with the same wrench that was squeaking, I would keep talking about the guys and what happened.
It stopped squeaking.
There was no squeaking.
So we got that one in. That one finally, and then I did another one. So now I'm figuring this out, what just happened, and kind of alarmed in a sense that,
right.
come on, are
you
kidding?
You thought it was like a trick.
Give me a break, you know what I mean? I'm thinking like that. So now I start going again, halfway in, squeak, 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 and this is what I said. I said, if you think I'm going to stop talking about you, you got another thing coming. And I just kept on talking. And with a split second, immediately, just like that, the squeaking stopped. And I kept talking.
And we put in a bunch more. And they all went
squeaked. In. Never squeaked.
Now, the moral of the story is it it shows how easily a person can be distracted from grace.
Because it says here, boldly believing without a second thought. There's something there.
The biggest problem that people seem to have with me is my irreverence and disrespect for Christ, as they put it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like the way I'll say something.
Right.
You know, like, the other day, not the other day, I'm sorry, a while back, something happened, and I said, you know, and they said, oh, please, you know, please help me and forgive me for my sins, and it was a really pretty exhortation, you know, and they says, well, how would you do it? And I says, well, I think I would just say, where the heck are you? Get off your lazy butt and do something about this. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And they just went, oh, you know, of course, I used more colorful language, you know, as I commonly do. And they just said, well, you can't talk like that. And I says, your connection with Christ has to be so much more than the words that you use. And they says, well, I don't understand. And I says, you can't just say beautiful religious words and expect results.
Right, right.
Because if you don't have a genuine connection, if you don't have the most rudimentary understanding of what it is to be a spirit being, no matter how pretty you talk,
right, it's not in the words.
It's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, there's no intent in the heart.
And I says, but look at the way I talked to God. I talked to him as if he was right 2 feet from me, and I actually accused him of not paying attention and being slow. I said, now how tangible?
Yeah.
And how close am I in my relationship to God for me to think, feel, and talk as if he's right next to me and he's just not paying attention doing his job? And they got real quiet. And then they said, well, I just never looked at it that way.
Right, right.
And I says, well, let me ask you something. I says, do you believe God is your Father? Yes. Are you a child of God? Yes. Well, then what special engraved invitation and what kind of a dress code and what kind of manner do you have to talk to him? Because it sounds like your family.
That's good.
And they said, and they says, well, that's just not the way I was brought up, and where I worship, we just don't talk that way. And I said, how's that been working for you? Well, then, you know, they just gave me a dirty look, and, you know, they told me that they would pray for me, and I says, why? It won't work.
Now, for those of you that are listening, maybe we can do one of our first texts. Elicitations. Let's do that. When you just listen to what BJ said, tell me if his description of God as a father and being a part of a family and talking to a family member, send us in some texts and tell me if that meant something to you and if that caused it light some lights to go on as far as how to let God become more tangible and real.
Okay, the way you text the show, and you can be able to do emails as well.
Sure.
If you don't do texting. The way you text the show is the first word you use is grace. G-R-A-C-E, grace is the first word you type in your text message, and then type in the rest of your message, and you just send that to this 5-digit internet high-speed text number, 69302, 69302. If you want to email the show, it's the name of Jim's radio show, The Abiding Presence, all one word, no spaces, no caps. And it's just the abiding presence at Gmail, the letter G for Grandma's Gravy, the abiding presence at gmail.com. And you can just say yes, no, if you're listening to the show, if you want to add a comment on the way the show started, because it was so smooth and elegant and official
tonight.
Hey,
how was that cookie? Was that any good?
It was a good cookie.
You know what? Cheryl McNutt and
popcorn, cookies. We got all kinds of stuff.
Yes, and Diane McNutt made all this popcorn and cookies and all. Hey, I do have something I wanted to start back. Did you have a
text? We got stuff to read.
Okay,
we got
go ahead
one
first.
Text that says, "Guys, I sure appreciate what you're doing. Grace has transformed my life in a lot of ways over the last number of years, but after listening to some," and then it cut off, so they'll have to type the rest of their message.
Yeah.
Remember the guy that works in the warehouse in North Carolina, Nick? And he's on a forklift right now, moving bags of feed and putting them on semi-trucks. It says, "Nick in North Carolina tuning in. Tonight's topic is for me. Hello to other regular listeners. Hello to Ranger."
You know, for some reason, I thought Nick was in Wisconsin, so it's North Carolina.
No, he's in North Carolina.
Oh, okay. All right.
Somebody's in Wisconsin. Well, okay, there was a couple in Wisconsin that have now moved to
Florida.
They're Floridians.
Tampa area. All right. This is something that I've done quite a bit, and I did it even today at healing school. And it goes along with what BJ was talking about, so I can kind of connect to that for a second. And that is, I'll always ask people, I'll say, "Hey, see if you can finish this for me." And I'll say, "Talk is," and I'll just grab my ear, you know, like as I'm listening for them. And all the time, everybody instantly chimes in, "Talk is cheap." And my next question is, "How come you all knew that?" And then everybody starts to laugh a little bit and snicker. Because it's universally, at least here in America, known that talk is cheap. So when you begin to put that together with the whole idea of what BJ was talking about prayers and about the real intent of the heart, and it's not just again about words, it's about whether or not God is real to you, whether or not you are allowing him to be another way to say it would be tangible to you, whether there's some substance to your relationship. This has so much to do with then the quality of words that come out of your mouth versus just nice religious sayings that don't seem to actually amount to a whole lot. And that's actually what was going on here. People who pray worry their prayers like wind whip waves, don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way, adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. That says everything about someone who's waffling back and forth versus someone who's completely and 100% committed.
We got some emails that have been rolling in. We've got one here that I've been saving. It goes back a couple of weeks. They sent it on the 29th of October. It's from a lady named Lori, and it says, "Listening live for the first time from New Zealand."
Okay.
"Have been listening to archives for weeks now and have been encouraging friends to tune in." Well, thank you. We all enjoy and have learned so much. Thank you. This is from Lori. So I hope Lori's
Great, Lori.
Listening tonight and feels a part of the show.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's see. Another... We got a couple more here to read real quick. Okay, we've got one here that came in, what would that be, 3 days ago. It says, I like this. First we had Lori from Australia, now we got a guy from,
New Zealand.
Lori was from New Zealand, and this guy's name is Phil. He's from Australia.
Oh, good.
Yeah. See, this is a powerful barn. It doesn't just hold thousands of bales of hay,
right?
And a couple of cats and you and I.
We're reaching the world.
We're smoking. It says, "I have been involved in church all my life. He's 55 years old and was born again about 30 years ago, but only truly experienced the grace and power of God about 5 years ago. Our church has been gradually moving from meeting in a building to meeting in homes. Have we seen the inadequacies of the church system? Having recently discovered your radio program, I've been avidly listening to the archives for the past 2 weeks. I'm really encouraged and stirred to go to a new level in my relationship with God. I enjoy BJ's analogies." It really says that. It says, it really does. "Although it took me a while to understand them." Hey, that's okay. I don't understand them either. "The scriptures that Jim shares help bring clarity to the analogies. Thank you for being a dynamic duo for the kingdom of God. Signed, Phil." I like that one.
Good. That's awesome.
Yeah, he sounds like a good guy.
You know what I'd love to know from Phil? How did he find the show?
That, well, yeah, that's interesting. We got one that came in about 8 hours ago. It says, "Hey, Jim and BJ, really enjoy the show. I have wrote before as I have seen Jim at our church several times. Here is the thing. I know the Bible is true and I believe everything in it, but rarely see any power that we should see daily." Boy, that describes people for centuries.
Sure.
It says, "It frustrates me that 95% of the USA that believe in God go to church but have never saw any evidence of true answered prayer or healing and are good with it. They say they believe the Bible, but their lives show the opposite, as they are always broke and running to the doctors. I'm talking about good people, too. How can all these people be satisfied with going to church, singing a few songs, hearing a sermon, and going home, never seeing or experiencing much of anything? I want more. I know God's word is true. I believe in healing and everything else the Lord has promised. I have been praying for 8 years for one thing and have never got an answer. Matter of fact, I have rarely gotten an answer to a prayer at all. The thing is this, I'm not alone. I am like most people. Others sit back and say, well, the Lord knows best, and just don't need an answer to that prayer. That makes no sense, as the Lord says he will answer our prayers, and I'm not satisfied with the world's reasoning for no answer. I would love to just walk up to the strangers that are sick, lay hands on them, and see them healed instantly, just walk off to find another person in need. I'm not talking about any glory for me. People would think I'm crazy for thinking like this, but I think they're crazy for expecting nothing of God's word. I know you all have results from your prayers and see healing on a regular basis. That is why I need and will not be satisfied until I get it. I don't blame God, of course, but wish he could make it a little easier if I'm begging to be used by him. What is the answer? How do I see God in my life on a real basis? What is the key? I'm so tired of seeing people getting hands laid on them, not recovering, and then people saying that is not God's will when that ain't what his words says. Help. Thanks." It says, this is Chuck from Destiny Bible Church in Lancaster, South Carolina. He said he had tattoos and he wore a tank top.
Okay. Yeah, I remember him. He's a good guy.
You want to go first?
Yeah, I will. I'll go first because there's a couple things that kind of spark something in me to say. remember how it's Chuck, right? How Chuck was saying he'd like to be able to go up to somebody and just minister to him, lay hands on him, and see him get healed. Okay, well, let's expand this for a second. Let's say you had a desire to go up to somebody that you could see that had a need and hand them, let's just say, $50. All right? If you only had $10, could you give them $50? I know this kind of sounds ridiculous, but could you? And the answer would be, well, no. If you didn't have anything, could you give them something? Could you give them $50? And the answer would be, no. If you had $100 or $50 or $1,000, could you give them $50? And the answer would be, of course. If I had the amount that I needed, I could give it to them. All right, we'll take this over to spiritual things, and this is the answer, in my opinion. How can you give somebody something that you don't know you have? I prayed for a lady in Alabama one time, and instantly the power of God hit her. She was healed, and she looked at me with an amazement, and she said, "I've never had a prayer like that in my life." I said, "Well, what was so different about my prayer?" She said, "Oh my goodness, I could feel so much happening in my body, and instantly it was well." She said, "I've never had anything like that before." And I said, "Well, there's a difference." She said, "Well, what's the difference?" I said, "Well, I was putting something in you. Obviously, other people were just praying. So why did something happen with her? It's because I knew I had, let's say, the $50. So I was able to put it in her." And the same thing's true for whenever we minister to somebody. The more you recognize and are aware of God's presence and God's wonderful healing power, the more you can distribute it to somebody else. Likewise, the more recognizable it is in your own life, the more you can use it for yourself.
I think the first comment that I like what you said. You ought to say that on a radio show.
Hey, maybe someday I'll be able to.
Maybe someday. You never know. Keep your fingers crossed.
Okay.
Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. See, there's another country saying for you. Have you heard that one?
No.
You know, you are such a city kid, it's just ridiculous.
Got my sneaks on tonight.
I saw that you were in tennis shoes.
Yeah.
Probably some kind of weird sock deal, too. All right, the first thing that I see here, it says, I don't blame God, of course. He's talking about not being satisfied, not being able to get things done.
Right.
He says, I don't blame God, of course, but here it comes. But wish he could make it a little easier. Okay. Now, not to be disrespectful to this guy, because he listens to the show. And,
right, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
But I want to point out the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, we talked about the recipe.
Right.
First, you have a thought, then that gives you a feeling.
Yep.
And then that feeling leads to an idea, and then that idea gives you a choice whether to act on it or not.
Yeah, that was the grandkid.
Okay, yeah. Now, here it is. I wish he would make it a little easier. So his mindset from his own words is that it's hard, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find ironic because it goes to what we talked about at the beginning of the show.
Right.
All right. If you have a flashlight that I've given you for your birthday, and you've got it in your pants pocket, and you're stumbling around in the dark in my barn, and I've given you this gift of a flashlight, and you have it in your pocket, and you say, boy, BJ, I just wish you would make it a little easier to walk around in this barn. Would you just turn one light on so I could navigate?
Right.
What would I say? Why don't you just reach into your pocket, pull out the gift, the flashlight I gave you for your birthday, and turn it on, and you will see. So when he says, I just wish he, being Christ, I just wish God would make it a little easier, how much easier should it be
right.
if you're born with grace?
Right.
How much easier should it be when God's only son got the snot beat out of him, and then he was nailed to a fence post, died, sent to hell for 3 days? I mean, that was a tough week.
Right. You know, we really did.
His blood paid for our sins.
Yes.
What more? I mean, honestly, folks, what more verification do you need to have a Christian thought that gives you a Christian feeling, mm-hmm. that gives you a Christian idea, that gives you a Christian choice? And then add into this, there's nothing good of the flesh, there's nothing good of the world. We got one here, it says, lights just got brighter here. Mom and Linda. Do you know who that is?
Mom and Linda. Oh, it's my mom, and then Linda.
Who's Linda?
Kent and Linda. Linda is one of the ones that's with, goes to all the healing schools on the Wednesday nights, and she helps.
Oh.
Tons. And
that's really your mom? DeVore.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Hey, I got a real good scripture that we were reading before that goes right in with what you were saying about that guy.
Yeah,
let me go for it here. It says I'm reading out of the Message Bible, but Luke 17:3, and I'm going to ask BJ to do the same thing that he did with me as we were talking earlier. Just as I read it, he can go ahead and comment on it if he wants. It says, be alert. If you see your friend doing or going wrong, correct him. If he responds, forgive him. Even if it's personal against you and repeated 7 times to the day, and 7 times he says, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, forgive him. The apostles came up and said to the master, give us more faith. But Jesus said, you don't need more faith. There is no more or less in faith. If you have a bare kernel of faith, say the size of a poppy seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, go jump in the lake, and it would do it. And then it goes on to give this little scenario here. It says, suppose one of you has a servant who comes in from plowing the field or tending the sheep. Would you take his coat, set the table, and say, sit down and eat? Wouldn't you be more likely to say, prepare dinner, change your clothes, and wait the table for me until I finished my coffee, then go to the kitchen and have supper? Does the servant get special thanks for doing what is expected of him? It's the same with you. When you've done everything expected of you, be matter of fact and say, the work is done. We were told to do. We did it. What thoughts do you have?
Well, the thoughts are is that this screams a very simple mathematical formula. It's talking about why are you not using what you already have?
Right.
Why are you waiting for something special when the only special thing in the room is you? I've never understood the personality trait that seems to be in just about everybody I've ever met, including myself. I've been guilty of this so many times in my life. To perceive that we're not good enough. We haven't earned it. We haven't deserved it. We're just not there. It's always easier to understand why somebody wins or somebody is victorious than it is for ourselves. And I think the reason, and it goes back to either last week's show or the week before when we talked about how much easier it is for people to see the tangibility of this world in the flesh,
right,
than it is to see the tangibility of God.
Yes.
Because right now, I mean, I don't know if we've got anybody listening anymore because we started the show a little bizarre. That was one for the books.
Yeah, it was.
But right now, if we have anybody listening, if we've got a few people listening or not, it's real easy for them to turn the volume up or down on their computer speakers.
Okay.
It's easy for them to stand up and look at the chair they're sitting in. It's easy for them to snap their fingers, blink their eyes, hold their nose, hold their breath, cough. It's to see the wall. The room they're in, hear outside background noises, because that's all happening right now.
Yeah.
But yet when Jim, when you tell them and I tell them that grace is in them and they've had it all along and that all they have to do is not tap into it, but enjoy it and take it out for a test drive.
Right.
And put it to use. They can't relate to that because they've never had it.
Yeah.
And if they have had it or they have seen it, it was temporary.
Right.
It was fleeting. And I think that must be a very popular hurdle. And I think that maybe more than just five people on the planet have that situation.
Well, here's one scenario. And again, this really goes across the board really big. But I've been in so many services across the country. And I can't tell you how many times after the praise and worship, a minister will get up and begin to exalt the fact that, can you tell that the presence of God is here? Only then to just tell everybody, all right, well, shake hands with everybody and you can be seated. And no one gets to enjoy the presence of God. In other words, yeah, if it is there, why isn't it then taking care of everything that's in the room?
Yeah.
Why, in fact, even recently, I know there was someone that told me the story of, I was there with a friend of mine, and she, made some comments, and when she did, I could feel the presence of God come all over me. And I knew she was having problems in her ears, so I called her over and laid hands on her. And within just a couple of days, her ears were perfectly made whole. And then my comment was, well, the power was on you, and you gave it to somebody else, but you didn't use it yourself.
I can't tell. They made me promise not to say who it was. But one of your daughters, when they were out here at the ranch without
you. Uh-huh.
Okay, so we've only got three daughters.
Right.
And two. Well,
only two of them have been out here without
me. Well, two of them have driver's licenses.
Right.
but you'll never know. It's like flipping a coin. But one of your daughters was out here, And she said, you know, there is a difference. And I says, and you know me, I can't remember, but I'm sure I said something, you know, funny or off the wall or bizarre, which I don't do very often, by the way. But, you know, and she laughed and she says, no, she says, as soon as I came through the gate and I drove up to the barn and I got out of my car, she said, this ranch is different. She says, I'm more relaxed. She says, I'm in a good mood. Everything seems to go so well here. She says, there is just so much grace in the air. And she's, you know, mm-hmm. she says, I can really feel the, you know, feel God's presence on mm-hmm. this ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I probably said something, well, you must have gas. You know, you probably had, you must have had cabbage last night for supper, you know, something like that.
Right.
And she says, no, really. And she says, why is that? And I says, well, I says, instead of asking why you can feel the presence of Christ so strongly on this ranch, maybe you should ask why you don't feel it at your house.
Right.
Oh, man, you should have seen the look on her face.
Right.
She got real quiet. And I says, why don't you have this feeling at school? I says, if you went to the moon, if you went to Japan, if you go to the mall.
Right.
I said, if you go to the bathroom, maybe you should ask yourself, why don't I have the presence of grace there? Because if you think this ranch is special or I'm special, all you're doing is you're opening your mind and you're dropping your inhibitions because you've heard so many people talk about, I love going to the ranch.
Right.
And I says, does that make any sense when it comes to the power of God?
Or receiving it at her house.
Yeah, and she says, no. And I said, the next time you're going to the bathroom, say hi to God. And her face got kind of red. She goes, I can't do that. You know, she said, uh-huh. you know, I kind of embarrassed her.
Uh-huh.
And I said, there you go. I said, do you think, I says, God made you. You don't think that he's right. expecting some that you're going to put things in and that things have to come out? It's his design.
Right.
I says, why do you think he'd have a problem? All you're showing is that his idea and system works just fine.
Right.
And she started laughing and she says, the things you say. And she says, are you going to tell my dad? And I says, oh, I'm going to use this on the radio. She says, well, you can't mention my name. And I says, no, I won't mention your name. I says, sooner or later, an appropriate time will come up, and I says, this will be good radio. And she just rolled her eyes.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, she got quiet for about 15 minutes.
Right. Right.
But see, I think this applies.
Yeah.
We got a text. It says, that sounds like Moses at the Red Sea. What you were saying. I don't know. And then we got another text here. It says, guys, I sure appreciate what you're doing. Over the last number of years, grace has radically transformed my life. But after listening to some of Jim's, see, I think their text gets so long it cuts it off.
Yeah, it does.
We got an email here that came in about 27 minutes ago. Then we got a bunch of them that are stacking up. So apparently we got a few listeners.
Good.
It says, do either of you attend church services in an actual building? If not, how do you reckon that with your children? If you do, are they like-minded about grace as you are? And if not, how do you reckon worshiping with them?
Well, I probably could answer it because I'm the one that has the children.
Well, you got kids, and plus you hang out in buildings all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in churches all the time, personally, myself, and of course, my family or buildings, whatever. And my family goes with me once in a while in the summertime, but most of the time they're here when I go. So this is what happens with us at this particular juncture. Usually when I'm gone on weekends, my wife will go to a place here in town with the kids. And when I'm home, almost all the time, sometimes not, but almost all the time, we have then church right there in our home, which is just our family. And those are the times where I really try to make a big distinction between helping them to really get a hold of God for themselves and begin to experience something more than what they usually do when they go to one of these places of worship, where usually it's more of kids being together, hanging out with other kids.
Friendship, fellowship.
Fellowship, friendship, and there's not a whole lot of spiritual things happening for the sake of these kids developing any sense of God.
Even your daughters are commenting about that.
Yeah, well, they are.
They're tell you. I mean,
well, I remember the one story. Do you remember back when Drew's knee was healed about a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
Remember when when she had that accident there in gymnastics, and
right.
we didn't buy into it, and God just touched her knee, and by morning that night, even she was doing so much better. By morning, perfectly whole, and the next day, she was to go on her missions trip to London, to England. With this missions group. And so anyhow, she went perfectly well and healed, and she didn't have any problem at all. Now, when they got there, the lady who was in charge, the husband and wife, that were the missionaries going over and connecting these kids to a couple places over there in England to do whatever they did, which was more just washing cars and things like that than anything spiritual. But anyhow, she ended up tripping and hurting her leg.
Okay.
And all the kids ran up to lay hands on her. Now, remember now, Drew had just gotten healed, just within 24 hours. They all went up and laid hands on her, and then the moment that the prayer was over, the husband, the missionary, he rushes up to her, grabs her, and cradles her in his arms, and says, "We have to go to the hospital." And then she wore a boot for the whole time that she was in England, and she hobbled around on crutches. And when we got home, sitting at a table, they had a meeting for all of us to come and just listen to the kids talk about their time over there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all the parents were there and the kids were there. And we happened to be sitting next to this couple that was the missionary couple. And she started testifying to how good God was because she was able to keep up with everybody while she had this boot on, and she was able to crutch fast enough to keep up with everybody walking.
Yeah, see, that's just so.
And I got ready to open my mouth and say something, and I felt these claws in my leg. It was Aaron had dug her hands into my leg and just looked at me like, don't.
You should.
This is the wrong place to do it, you know.
You should.
And what I was going to say was, do you know how horrible that is, that you basically taught all these kids that prayer doesn't work?
Right.
And that never to expect God to do anything. And out of 20 kids that went, there's only one kid here that actually has the correct testimony that knows how ridiculous this
but
was.
But see, the problem with Aaron digging into your leg saying don't say anything is because Aaron didn't want anybody to have hurt feelings. She didn't want to be embarrassed or humiliated. And she didn't want you to look bad, which are all fleshly, earthly things. But that's the real testimony here, is that a person that was in a position to do the right Christian testimony and to say, wait a minute, here's grace, and here's what grace does, was lost because of what? The fear of embarrassment, humiliation, ostracization, hurting someone's feelings. Well, that's all world flesh things. That's how easy it is to miss the opportunity for grace, because now the real question is not whether you should or should have not said anything. The real question is, what kind of ripples in a Christian positive way, what could have these people benefited if they would have seen grace and talked about it?
Yeah.
Where could it have went?
Right, right.
See, so I look at this as a missed opportunity. And my answer to this question, do either of you attend a church? Well, I met Jim in a building, and as soon as I went home and started spending time with the guys, I just couldn't go there anymore. I just couldn't understand it. I just couldn't abide by going. I just thought, I don't have kids. There's probably a good reason for that. I just as soon stay on the ranch, be with the animals, work the ranch, and just enjoy nature and stuff like that. And what's real interesting, and I've talked to you about it, there is a church that I know of,
It doesn't have any windows, no doors. The parking lot is like gravel, grass. It's like an old 60s gas station that's been closed down. And the only thing left is the brick building. And they're up to about 11 or 12 now. There's like 11 or 12 people that go there. But they don't have a specific day. They just all kind of feel that it's time to go share their testimonies. And they all end up there on the same day without knowing or talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, well, this is grace because grace brought us together. And they talk about their testimonies and they laugh and they socialize. And every once in a while, I'm driving somewhere and I end up there. There's Grace again. And they say, well, we had a feeling you'd show up. And they want me to, organize it, not be a leader, but just kind of, maybe a leader organizer. And I says, no. I says, trust me, yeah. Every report card I ever had said, does not work well, play well with others. And, but it's, that's the only church that I know of that I've personally seen. I've sat with them and talked. Some bring folding chairs. One guy sits on an old garbage can that's bent from, in the shape of its rear. And they talk for 10 minutes or 30 minutes and they go get something to eat. And then they're just scattered to the wind like leaves in the fall. And then sometimes a week, sometimes a month, all of a sudden, they say, well, we just, I said, how do you do this? And they says, well, I just pull in the parking lot. And all of a sudden, somebody else pulls in the parking lot. And then a few minutes later, somebody else shows. And before you know it, in a reasonable short time, we're just all here and we laugh about it. And we get out of our cars and we just say, well, I had a feeling, that I should come here.
That's good.
And we just got a text that says, both you, BJ and Jim, have a very genuine connection with God. That is why your show is so successful. This is Dennis and Muriel, Tampa, Florida.
Oh, okay.
Between Jim's messages and the show, I'm realizing how much more I need to experience grace on a daily basis. Thanks a heap. That's Tad from North Carolina. Okay, then we got some emails here. It says, yay, Nick is from... It says, yes, Nick is from North Carolina. I saw Jim when he came to BFC in Statesville during the summer.
Oh, okay.
I was the long-haired guy that said, I want to do what you're doing. And Jim said, okay, do it. It says, I was kind of confused like it is that simple. I guess maybe I was asking permission. Also, BJ's analogies and prayers make a lot of sense to me, and that example has helped my thinking. I'm seeing some results and I'm recognizing grace, but I'm not satisfied with the little bit I'm seeing. I guess I have more to more repenting to do. That was from Nick. Then we got one here. It says, I went to fellowship with a group several years ago who believed God really loved them and had forgiven them completely and therefore had absolute nothing against them after accepting Jesus as Savior. I believe this and saw miracles in my life. I don't even have a head cold. I haven't had a head cold for 2 years. Mike says he likes the show.
Okay.
Got another one here.
Is Mike a new listener?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
We got one here. It says, oh, here we go. Hello, Jim, BJ, Ranger, the horses, Mom and Dad in Morgan Hill, Dave and Barb in Minnesota, and all the others listening to the show. This is great. As usual, Sue in Livermore, California.
Yeah, I like Sue.
Well, she's saying hi. Well, she covered all the bases with one.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. I bet she does that with greeting cards,
Maybe
sends
so.
Sends one card, says hello to everybody. greeting cards are such a waste of money. Do you like cards?
Well, if you get the right one, they're good.
I don't get a lot of cards. We got one here. It says... this says, sounds like Moses at the Red Sea. And this is from somebody named Casey in Mississippi. Then we got one that says, I'm so bummed. I missed the first 40 minutes of the show due to a computer glitch. I wait impatiently all day for your show. God's grace is awesome. You two are wonderful and feel very blessed to be able to listen to you. Oh,
really? Only missed 30 minutes.
Yeah. And it was part of the show. And I do talk to God in the bathroom. Laugh out loud. Oh, this is Lily the lumber lady.
Okay.
The one that used to work with wood.
Right.
I like that we're getting a family of listeners here. You know, well, speaking of this, she hasn't missed anything because once tonight's show is over, it will loop itself over and over and over, 24 hours, 7 days a week until next week's live broadcast.
Right.
And then it will go to the archives page on the Abiding Presence website. So it's literally impossible to miss a show. Okay, here's an email that came in 4 minutes ago. It says, wanted to share this thought that I had that goes along with what BJ is always talking about. Allowing yourself to see things from the right perspective, from a grace perspective. This grace system has replaced the sin system. What used to be automatic in the sin system is now foreign in the grace system. What used to be difficult in the sin system is now an automatic under the grace system. Everything has been turned around 180 degrees. Up is down, down is up. White is black, and black is white. Wet is dry, and dry is wet. We have to renew our thinking to see life as such. This is the way we must see things in order to experience all that has been corrected. This is how we must filter every thought and action in order to enjoy all that has been fixed by Jesus in the new system. Enjoy it like crazy. Steve Morgan, listening in High Springs, Florida. Okay. I think it's, remember what I said to you at the beginning of the show about being reborn and saved? And
right.
I think, should I say that or not?
Sure, you can.
Okay, because I think it kind of fits in with some of these emails we just got. I want you folks to take a second. I want you to clear your mind and think about something. It's very clear in that book, you know, the Bible, that it says that we're born with the grace of God, which means we're born as Christians. And as I said earlier in the show, as we mature, we grow, our family history, how we interact with other people, and here it comes, the choices we make, we can actually choose our way away from Christianity. Now, here comes in the terms of being reborn, of being saved. Because when you're reborn, you're renewed. It's a fresh start. And when you're saved from your bad choices and the way that you've lived in a fleshly body in a world that is no good, like the body is. So if you take this absolute literally, when you're reborn and you're saved, you're now like a newborn baby from your mom, that grace is in you. Now, think for a second. If you consider yourself reborn, if you consider yourself saved, then if you're not experiencing the wonders of grace, the enjoyment of having breakfast, lunch, dinner, and supper with the guys. Why? Why is that occurring? Because if you believe in the book and you believe in God and you're reborn and you're saved, the whole point of being reborn, the whole point of being saved, is so that you have your back at square one with grace dripping in it, like you just stepped out of a rainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
This is your verification that God is real. This is the testimony that you put together from all the verses in that book that says, please take advantage of it.
Right.
It's yours to do with it as you wish.
Right.
And if you've seen healings, if you've seen it in others, if you've experienced just a thin hair of grace, well, then you have to ask yourself again, why don't I have all of it? Why am I not enjoying all of it? because it's like a snowball downhill. When you start to see grace, when you start to experience grace, when you start to use grace, it builds and it builds and it builds more. And all of a sudden, you don't care about your thoughts. You don't care about your feelings. You have no concern about your ideas. And there are no choices because you've made the decision to choose as a Christian.
Yep.
And grace guides you into that.
Yeah. Very good. I think a story like I'm getting ready to share will really help just tack on to what BJ's been saying, and then also allow me entrance into some other scriptures that I think you'll really like. A good friend of mine here in town, and he pastors and was working with some people, especially this one lady, and this was quite a few years ago, and I went in and prayed with him with this lady, and she was struggling with cancer in her body, and she obviously was way too young to die, and she had a family, her and her husband, and some kids, and just some really good people, and just really struggling with the whole idea of the cancer being so real to her, and struggling with being able to let go of that so she could just let God do something in her body. Well, she got worse and worse and worse, and to the point where they went ahead and put her on some morphine and all to kind of help her with all her pain in her last few days. Well, in those last few days, she started, whether it's because she was getting close to, you know, going to the other side and being with the Lord, she started to have some visions and began to see some angels in her room. And one day in the afternoon, her husband came in and was going to say something and went to get real close to the bed. And she stopped him. She said, wait, don't step any closer. And he said, why? And she said, well, because there's this real huge angel standing right next to my bed, and you're about to step on him and, you know, or bump into him. And he said, well, if there is an angel standing next to your bed, why don't you ask him why you're not healed? And she did. And the angel's reply was, but you're already healed. And then she told the husband, this is what he said. So he said back to her immediately, well, then ask him, how come it's taking so long? So she asked the angel, how come it's taking so long? And this is what he said. He said, you're making this much, much too difficult. It's very, very simple. And all of what we're saying tonight, if you listen to what I just, that story I just shared, and everything BJ just got through sharing, and then even some scriptures that we'll read here in a moment, if you're listening to all of this tonight, you really need to come to a very central focus of the fact that religion has complicated this and actually has helped us to lose our confidence in God. The whole idea that for years and years you've been in services where supposedly the presence of God was there, you might even have felt it but never used it, never saw it being used, very rarely see things being demonstrated as they ought, and they're getting worse and worse in the area of these demonstrations than years ago where it was commonplace to see all kinds of demonstrations of God. Well, begin to put this together and you can see that we're making this so difficult. Something that to a spirit being already sees that it's done. Because what's that angel supposed to do? What's he supposed to say? Yeah, you know, you've got a lot of cancer in your body. It looks like you're going to die real soon. Because to a spirit being, you have exactly what Jesus spiritually did for you, which he removed all your sickness and he removed all your disease and he forgave you from all your sin. That's one of the premier verses we've all learned from even being kids over in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not one of his benefits or all of his benefits. Who forgives all your sin, who heals all your diseases. And then on it goes. My point is, from a spirit's point of view, all of this is easy because it's already finished. About a year and a half ago, maybe two years ago, I got something out of my heart and said it. And I think I say a lot of things that the Lord will give me that I don't know that are actually really good until later when I figure it out. It's kind of sad. But anyhow, I said this and I shared it with BJ and he always seemed to like it. And that was, it just came out of my heart one night that healing would be easy if it weren't for your body.
Yeah, it's probably one of the top three things that you've ever said.
I've only said about three that are worth anything. No, just go on.
Well, I didn't want to bring that up.
I know, thanks.
It is your show.
Thanks, I appreciate it. You're kind. You're always so kind to me.
Well, you know, it is a barn and it is a ranch, and we're used to shoveling stuff every day, so a little more stuff isn't really going to hurt anything on my shoes.
That's right, that's right.
But I
what about that comment?
Yeah, I like it. Todd and Cheryl are listening. It says, grace is working in our lives. Thank you both. We've had some great... Folks, if you want to text the show, the way you send a text message is you just type the first word of your message has to be grace. G-R-A-C-E, grace. And then you just type what you want, and then you send it to this five-digit number. No one, no area code, just 69302. If you want to send an email, it's just the name of the show, The Abiding Presence, at G, the letter G, gmail.com. There's a contacts page on the radio show website, theabidingpresence.com, and that'll give all these instructions I just gave out. We love, if you just want to say hi, if you like the show, you don't like the show, if you don't want your name mentioned, start your message off with that. Like this person, it says, question, no name, please. That's how they titled their email. It says, does fasting have a place in a Christian's life? Well, not in this barn during the show. I don't think, have we ever had a show without snacks?
I don't think so. I mean, we got overload. It was like overdose tonight with popcorn and cookies. So it was, which is wonderful.
It says, if so, what and to what end or how you.
Okay, well yeah.
No, I'm sorry, go.
Well, I was going to say, think of the equation, and I'm looking at a passage here. I'm looking in the Message Bible, so you know, I'll read it in a little bit. I don't think it's time to yet, but I'll comment on one part of it. It's the guy that had a son that was being demon-possessed and throwing him into the fire and into a river trying to destroy him, and the disciples tried to cast it out and couldn't. And they came to Jesus later on and said, why couldn't we cast it out? In the King James Version, it says, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. So in a sense, you could say, what's Jesus saying? He's saying, if you get into a situation where something doesn't seem to work, go into this prescription and it'll help you to get it to work. What's the prescription? Fasting and prayer. So what is fasting? We normally think it's always putting food aside, but it may be putting something else aside, just something from the world. You're literally turning your back on the world. And what's prayer? Prayer in its essence is communication with God. So look at what Jesus is saying. If you want to be able to get something out, if you want to be able to have a victory, the way you do it is turn from the world, turn toward God, and you'll know what to do. You'll know where you need to make a change or an adjustment. And it comes from what? A change of focus. So does fasting have a place in a Christian's life? Well, in that sense, of course, we should live a fasted life, which is to constantly turn our back on the world in some manner or form. And at times, the Lord may impress upon your heart, or you may take it upon yourself just to say, you know, I'm literally gonna take this week to turn my back on the world in this area and give my attention to God. And what's going to happen? Well, it's not a matter of your works. It's not like God rewards you, like gives you a blue ribbon. It's just you'll begin to lose your concentration on the world, and you'll begin to gain concentration in God. And for that, you're going to be that much more spiritually ahead, aware, and able to get your prayers to work. Go ahead.
I think, as I do with, I think what I'm going to say, in my opinion, and from what I've learned in my couple of years being with the guys, is that whether it's meditation and you're chanting, whether you've got incense going, whether you're fasting, whether you're speaking in tongues, whether you're sitting in a room quietly and you're trying to connect with the guys, they all basically are trying to do one thing and one thing only, to get you to disassociate yourself with what you think is real.
Very good. Yep.
To disconnect from the world that we all live in. I mean, right now, and I mean, if this shocks you or you don't like it, so be it. But I really don't know how else to say this. I mean, right now in the United States, it's the 19th of November. For Grace in Korea, it's actually Wednesday the 20th. But it's the third week of November 2013, and right now it's 20 minutes after 9 on this Tuesday night. For a Christian and for God, I mean, honestly, who cares? I mean, who really cares? If you've got to get up for school, if you've got to watch the 10 o'clock news because they're talking about bad weather, or you've got to be at work at 8:30 in the morning, what does it matter, honestly? Because the more tangibility you give this world, the more time and energy and strife and struggling, and the more that you build up your priorities and responsibilities to this world and your body and the things connected to it, that's literally every second that you're not enjoying your relationship with God.
Right.
I really don't know how else to put it. Because if you look at the Bible and you read Scripture, how can you compromise? How can you discount a few very pertinent sentences or sayings or whatever you want to call them that backs up what I'm saying? There's nothing good of the flesh. There's nothing good of the world. When you pray, your prayers will be answered. Ask and you shall receive. And when you pray, go in your room and close the door. Don't worry about what you eat, where you live, what you wear, because if I take care of the birds and the bees, why would I not make sure that I would take care of somebody made in my own image, that I call my child and I title myself their father? Because if you believe these things to be true, which means that you believe the Bible is true, then my question is, what are you doing with your time? How are you living your life? Are you living your life in this body and this world, or are you just in this world and in that body living your life as a child of God? And nobody can make that decision but you. And the only person that can give it a right or wrong answer is you.
Right.
It's all up to you. I can't do it. Jim can't do it. And neither can God. Jim, how many times have I told you, in my personal perspective, the only thing that God has ever done wrong is what? Free choice.
He loves us too much.
I've said it before. God loves us way too much. He should have reined us in. But no, if you want to poke your eye out with a stick, if you want to become a drug addict, if you want to spend all your money on gambling and lose your family, if you want to steal from your employer, whatever you want to do, it's okay.
Right.
Because the caveat that is all your sins are forgiven, which means all your choices. If you glue this all together, it simply says, decide, make a choice. One way or the other, it's on you. And I love you so much
right.
that I grant you
right.
the power of choice.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I got some scriptures here that will go along with this. It is the same story that we got through reading when the email came in just a second ago about the prayer and fasting or the fasting. And so I want to read it out of the Message Bible here. In the 17th verse, Jesus had already cast the devil out of, or he was getting ready to cast the devil out of this boy. When the father had come to him and said, "Your disciples tried, but they could do nothing for him," Jesus answered and said, "What a generation. No sense of God, no focus to your lives. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Bring the boy here. He ordered the afflicting demon out, and it was gone. From that moment on, the boy was well. Notice, though, what Jesus said. He said, what a generation, no sense of God, no focus to your lives. Well, if they didn't have a sense of God, it's because they had a sense of something else. If they didn't have a focus to their lives, it's because their focus was somewhere else. In the 19th verse, it says, when the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, they asked, why couldn't we throw it out? And this is what it says here in verse 20, because you're not yet taking God seriously. The simple truth is, notice Jesus says it's simple. The simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain, move, and it would move. There is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. And this is the point here where I want to give you some encouragement for a moment, because as we're sharing some of these things, and as BJ just shared some of his thoughts for a moment, you listen to that, and the accuracy of it is spot on. And yet it has the potential when it shows you that really we ourselves are the ones that are spinning away from God or spinning truth so that it doesn't work. And we can make the adjustments ourselves as well. And the only reason why that's sad is people know themselves. And they've got habits and they've got routines. And they realize that if I've never gotten it to work before, I probably can't get it to work again. I've made this comment for years, and it seems to be fitting. And it goes like this. People are still excited about faith as long as they don't have to use theirs.
See, that's one of the three.
That's one of the three? Okay, we got two of them tonight. And that statement is really strong because it helps you to see that we've lost confidence in God. Well, notice what Jesus said here. He said, you're not taking God seriously yet. After he went on to say, no sense of God, no focus to your lives. And then he comes back with, there's a simple truth here. Or you might as well say, he said, there's a simple adjustment here that's necessary. And it's as simple as a kernel of faith. A poppy seed, a mustard seed, is just 1 to 2 millimeters in diameter. That's how small he made this reference to the fact that something that small could remove a mountain. Notice he didn't say a mountain of faith could remove a blade of grass. We'd all give up. He said it's just a poppy seed. So notice what he's saying. He's saying on one hand, if you're not getting it to work, it shows you how far away you are. But if you are far away, you must not be too far, because it's just a tiny little speck of an adjustment that'll get you there. Folks, we don't have to do so much effort and so much work. We talked about this at the beginning of the show. It's not about the work. It's not about the effort.
No, that's the problem. The problem is that 2,000 years of going in the wrong direction, people's family history, no disrespect, and the places that they go, that all their, and it's literally the blind leading the blind, it's the misinformed, the miseducated, the misunderstood passing it along,
right,
that leads people to this. It's like this, and this is perfect time to read this, the last text that we have. Real helpful show, how do we get rid of years of religious influence?
Okay.
And then it says, thank you. It fits right into this. We're creatures of habit. We don't like going to the grocery store and they've moved things to a different aisle, or it's not on the shelf we expect it to be. We don't like it. Even if it's on sale now, we still want it to be where it was, because we say, well, if it's on sale, why couldn't they just leave it where it was? Nobody likes going to their favorite restaurant and the menu's changed. We like our comforts. We feel safe and secure when things stay the same way. But interestingly, is if you go to a tire store to get your tire fixed and it goes flat, you take it back and it still goes flat. you'll never go to that tire store.
Right.
Matter of fact, if somebody talks about going to a tire store, you'll speak up and say, well, don't go there. They can't even fix a flat. If you go to a restaurant and the food upsets your stomach and you spend all night and the next morning in your bathroom, you'll never go back to that restaurant.
Right.
And if somebody says, well, let's go eat there, you'll say, no, it almost killed me the last time I went. Let's go somewhere else. It's a terrible TV show. It's a bad movie. I don't like that actor. It's a bad book, and I only read the first chapters. What's very interesting about our relationship with God is that we want it so bad because there's an aching in the center of our chest, the pit of our stomach,
right,
our heart, our spirit, that says we want something that we already have. It's ours. It
yeah.
was a gift,
yeah,
and we're trying to find it. So out of habit and out of our comfort zone, we don't like to question what seems to be real.
Right.
You know, no matter what religion you subscribe to, they all have basically the same recipe and events.
Sure.
It's just the little bells and whistles that are different. But what's real interesting is about all of them, very, very low success rate. But still in droves. To be a Christian, you don't question yourself. To be a Christian, you don't question God. To be a Christian, you question the validity of the life you're leading and where you choose and how Christianity is served to you.
It's good. It's good. I have a thought along this line, too, and that is, it's kind of like playing a card game where you've got trump. No matter what you've got, I don't care if you've got an ace, if you've got a trump card, you can trump somebody's ace. And thinking about your question about years and years of religion, very difficult to displace a mentality in somebody unless you have a greater mentality that is spot on. So it's interesting how people will hold on to things they've learned for years and years and years that don't work and yet continue to embrace them. Unless someone gets absolute, and this is the only way to remove old mentalities, is to bring something in that has no gray matter. It's matter of fact. And to bring in a new mentality from religious ways, it means there has to be a humbling and there has to be a repentance in the heart, because you have to be open and your mind has to be open and your heart has to be open to having something be so absolute and so precise that it can cut through all of that religion that allows you to think you're okay while nothing works. See, I understand about this working so hard when it's supposed to be so simple. I remember a story when we were just young. Aaron and I were young, and Drew was just an infant. She's my middle daughter. She's 16, and she was just an infant. And I remember this one night she was struggling with all kinds of symptoms in her body, you know, with colds and stuff. And here she is just hardly being able to sleep and crying, waking up, you know. And Aaron's asleep because she usually sleeps real well, and I'm the one that's always gotten up, you know, in the middle of the night usually. So here I am, I'm up, and I'm pacing back and forth. I'm praying in tongues, I'm binding everything I can bind. Back then, you know, we'd bind the devil, we'd command sickness to come off somebody, not realizing I'm building more of a wall in front of my face than I am letting God do something. I'm more of a hindrance than a help. And I'm doing all this stuff and going in the room and praying for her and this, that, and the other. And finally I got mad at Aaron because I'm thinking, I'm doing all this stuff, this religious stuff, and I'm seeking God, and here you are asleep. How dare you? You get up with me and do something with me. And so I finally got her out of bed, and she got up and she went into Drew's room, looked at her, put her hand on her back and just rubbed her back for a second, and she walked out and said, I'm going to bed, she's fine. And she went to bed. And I thought to myself, are you kidding? That's it? That's all you're going to do, and you're going to go back to bed? And the craziest thing was, Drew was instantly healed because somebody got out of the way while the preacher in the house was running back and forth, trying to cover God up and cover him in all kinds of blankets of doubt and unbelief and all this religious stuff. And it takes something so absolute, and where I would have looked and thought, oh my gosh, how ungrateful, Aaron, you just went to bed. She did the perfect thing. Drew's fine. Leave her alone. Go to bed. And God touches her.
Well, you know, I like to watch people, and the guys have me go places to watch people.
Right.
I mean, they just don't, you know, have me watch, you know, these nitwits on satellite TV saying, you know, Jesus, you know, send money for Jesus. You know, our call lines are open, debit cards, credit cards.
Right.
You know, send us $10 and, you know, we'll send you, a prayer rag?
Yeah, prayer cloth.
Rag, towel, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I saw one. Somebody sent way and they showed it to me. I can't, you know, there isn't even enough hardly to blow your nose.
No, there wouldn't be. It's pretty much.
You know what I think they do? I think they got a room full of unsuspecting good little people that want to be Christians, and they hand them a bunch of scissors and a bunch of bed sheets from Walmart, and they just slice them up and send them out.
Yeah, cut up dolls in whatever shape.
Yeah, they want. That's my theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when I listen to people talk to each other about God, and when I listen to people pray and their attitudes, it's like firing a gun and the sights are off. They aim careful, they choose their target carefully, but they don't realize that the gun isn't going to shoot true.
Right.
They don't know that the sights need adjusting, that what they're shooting at is a good target, the gun they're using is good and safe, and they're holding it very steady as a rock, but they're relying on a sight lineup that is not true and straight. But since everybody they know is shooting just as crooked as they are, that's the reality that they have.
Sure.
And there's a connection between humbling and repenting. It's like the chicken and the egg. What came first, the egg or the chicken? Because you don't know that you have to repent to change direction until you understand that you're going the wrong direction.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you don't realize you're going the wrong direction, you don't know to change. It's almost like a trick question.
Right, sure.
Because that's what a Christian has to do. It doesn't do any good to change direction if you're still the old you. You're not reborn.
Yeah.
It doesn't do any good to repent and say, I'm not going to do this anymore, if you're not saved and you don't look at yourself and the world in a different light. And if you humble yourself, which means don't feel bad, you just say, I've been driving the wrong way. I went 10 miles the wrong way and I wasted 10 miles worth of gasoline. Boy, that's ridiculous. But thank goodness it wasn't 20 miles or 100.
Right.
I'm going to make a U-turn in this parking lot. I'm going to go back 10 miles. And where I turned left, I know I need to turn right.
Correct.
And once you turn right, and even after you've only gone a half a mile, the burden is gone. You don't care about that 10 miles. You don't care about the gas you wasted, because now you have the frame of mind and the peace of heart knowing that you made the right choice and you're going the right direction.
Right.
It's exactly the same with repenting and humbling, how they work together. Because if you don't have this little combination of events happening, how can you have a connection with grace?
Right, right.
How could you afford yourself the ability to look forward to an answered prayer? How would that work?
Yeah, yeah.
Because if it does work, then that means that parts of the of that book are wrong.
Well, you remember what we've talked about before too, and that is, you know, a lot of the folks that I know, when we've had time together, one of the greatest hindrances was the pride, the unwillingness to open up their heart because of their religious stand and what they thought they knew, even if they couldn't produce the same amount of results. Very, very interesting how this can get in the way. And so an open heart and an open mind is so necessary for all kinds of things to happen. And I really believe, even at this juncture in the show, that there's people out there that have an open heart and an open mind. And I just want to do something for a moment, feel like I'm prompted to do this, and believe it's actually going to take place and happen so quickly here that there'll be people that can actually, in the next 10 minutes, text into the show and tell us what kind of changes just took place in your body. But I'm going to just speak a prayer real quick here and just release this grace on you. I mean, that's something that we can see in the Bible that Jesus did. He'd just say things and somebody was healed in a whole other part of town. He'd just speak something. Sometimes, you know, he'd send a word. Other times he'd just speak it to somebody and somebody would take it back with him. But we have reference to this in the Word of God, of course, and I'm just going to do this. And if you're in that particular situation, just get ready to be completely well right now and experience no pain, change in your body, change in your bones and muscles, change in your joints. There's going to be people here where your ears just open up. There's going to be people that all of a sudden your eyes begin to see. There's going to be someone here where your heart just stops beating irregularly and strength comes back to your body. And there's someone else in here in the pelvis area. You're going to be healed and you're going to be set free. There's some infection trying to get in your body, but you're going to be released from it. Even as I'm speaking it right now, God's grace is beginning to flow through the airwaves. And I just release you into your healing because you are healed. There's nothing really wrong. Jesus already did this. So just experience God right now. Experience His love and His grace and His anointing. And let us know within just a couple of minutes here what's taking place, because it's happening right now in people's. There's somebody, as far as you've had, what's that, migraine headache type of stuff, that's disappearing in you right now. That's leaving you. In fact, you've had that all day. You've been concerned. You can't go. You can't miss another day of work. And that's leaving you right now. Why wouldn't it? So let's just have all kinds of text messages coming in or emails. Let us know what God just did for you right there to help you to see that this isn't about your work and your effort. This is simply about how real God is in all of our lives.
Okay, we got a text that says, great analogy with the gun sight. I'm a hunter.
Good.
It says, so that was really helpful. Cheryl. Is that Cheryl that gave us the snacks?
I don't know. I didn't know she was a hunter.
Oh, well, didn't they provide us with popcorn from their movie theater?
Yeah.
We need to go to their movie theater.
Yeah, it's just $1
for
a movie. $1.50 for movies.
Wonder if they have those doors in the movie theater that when you open them, the alarm goes off?
Why, you ever use those?
No. No. What are you laughing about?
Well, I knew you did.
Okay, we got an email here. It says, are you the same BJ that talks about prepping and survival? ? If so, how does that correlate with this? That would be me. Actually, I've kind of counseled Jim a little bit. Jim looks at things a little differently now after hanging out with me. Basically, I think what they're trying to say, they're really polite. People are so much more polite than me. I mean, it's really true. I mean, I just am not a polite person. What they're trying to say is why would I help people to prepare and to learn survival skills if you can just, you know, pray away your problems, so to speak, I guess. And I'm going to give you, this is just on me. I have been a survivalist prepper since I was 16 years old. I've given lectures at gun shows on survival and prepping. I have a Facebook page about prepping and survival. I've had radio shows,
right,
about hunting, fishing, and preparing for survival. And I've always liked empowering people to be independent, to spend more time with their horses, to experiment, to ride, to ask questions, you know, to really delve in and learn. And I was taught that way from a kid, to be self-reliant. And I find that it's a perfect fit with Christianity to rely on any outside sources, but your own intelligence, your own planning, your own forethought, to be an independent thinker, and to be prepared and ready for whatever may come that's counterproductive to your way of life.
Mm-hmm.
It also puts you in an amazing position to help others when they need it, which is very Christian-like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I'm healthy, and God has graced me with a good mind, although twisted as many think it is, that I think that the more I use my mind, the more creative I am, the more I reach out to people in some type of a positive way, cannot be bad.
Yeah, well,
did that make sense?
Yeah, it did. And
I kind of felt like I was just rambling.
I mean, whatever. I mean, it's an interesting question, and I think it's a good answer. In fact, I was just thinking while you were talking how
would you answer that?
Well,
because you look at things differently now.
Yeah, I do, and I guess I haven't really thought about that, but on the spot, I guess I look at that and say, number one, I don't have a problem with having, in fact, I was getting ready to say, I look forward to Allie coming home, our oldest who's been at college. She'll come home this Friday, and with the girls home, I would love to come if we have a good day. Of course, now it's kind of give and take whether or not you've got good weather, but if we have some decent weather, I'd love to bring the girls out again and go hunting again, or excuse me, go shooting. And we just had a blast back in September. In fact, they all did really, really incredible. So I love the sport of being able to shoot, have a gun. I love the idea of being out in the woods. I grew up, you know, with my dad took me hunting. Some of my friends here are avid duck hunters and do just a great job. And if I get a chance to go with them, it's an absolute blast. So I love all the outdoors like that, and I don't have a problem in the world thinking that an individual has every right in the world to protect himself. And that doesn't mean that God isn't with us, that God wouldn't be with you and you wouldn't see God's grace if there were things that were going on. But some of what God's grace would be to actually have some intelligence of knowing what to do. And some of that has to do with planning and knowing that there are things that are in our society that are really wicked, and having a good understanding of what is and what isn't. So some of that has to do with planning, and others has to do with God helping you and being there for you. So I might have rambled some too on that, but how many of you, are there any texts that are coming in from just praying a few moments ago to people? Because I really want to encourage you, if you haven't gotten up and bent over, if you haven't checked yourself to see that some things are taking place, ears, eyes, check those, because as you do, what you're doing is you have an expectation for it to actually work. You'll see it actually does work.
We're caught up on everything. We're caught up on texts. We're caught up on emails. We're just flying low, going right along.
Okay.
You want to say something to music?
Yeah, we can do that.
Are you ready, or did I cut you off?
No, that's good. I'm just expecting folks to text us back in here with some.
Sometimes I wonder if they don't email and they don't text because we've really got their wheels turning. We really got them thinking. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I understand that, because anymore when I'm preaching this, I mean, people are sitting there looking, staring at you. I mean, it's not like they're running around the room or anything.
Well, and I do know that I think since about the middle or last part of September, about the last 2 months, we've really put their feet to the fire. I mean, we've talked about how we're becoming more absolute and we're really starting to get more serious and you know, down to terms with things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that, that, and well, we have to. I mean, we can't sugarcoat it. We can't change
right.
it. Because the more we sugarcoat it, the more we change it, the more easier we are. That's the recipe for a building, not a church.
Well, the last Wednesday night was actually really good that way, and people commented. It seemed just to take another step up in absoluteness, you know.
Yeah, at the Hardesty Library.
Right.
Tomorrow night you're going
to
be there.
7 o'clock, 7 to 8.
And then this week you're also at the Bridge.
Yes, doing a healing school from 11:30 to 12:30, Tuesday through, well, Tuesday's over, so Wednesday and Thursday.
You got to change that name, because it misrepresents it, I think.
Oh, yeah. It would be better to do, we've kind of talked about that before. Maybe we should change that to...
Healing school, school means teaching, learning. Okay, I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But healing... I mean, it just, I don't know, because it's more
maybe
than that.
Maybe the better school of the spirit or spirit living.
I don't know. I think maybe...
maybe people would text us on their thoughts. Maybe we get a text that way.
How about this? Moments with Grace.
That's not bad.
MG. Welcome to MG.
Uh-huh.
You know me. I like
things Moments that, with Grace.
Moments with Grace with Jim Huckaday.
I almost feel like I'm hearing the organ in the background.
Yeah.
Moments with Grace.
You like it? Or is it too smarmy?
Bad. No.
I like things really that good. Sing, you know, like cookies and milk.
Yeah.
You know, popcorn with butter.
Yeah.
You know, steak and mushrooms.
Mm.
Meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
All sounds good right now, doesn't it? Oh, gosh.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I am.
You always take us off some weird side.
It's always about food, too.
Can't you be focused? It says, Todd and I call school Spirit Academy.
Huh, that's not bad, too. Moments of Grace, Spirit Academy.
Now, see, this comes from a woman with a gun who hunts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty dangerous.
Yeah. I'm surprised she didn't call it the Grace Range.
There you go.
Oh, that's wrong music. Hold on. Here we go. Boy, it's been a tough night for broadcasting, hasn't it?
That's good.
You know, I feel sorry for the person that this is the first show they hear the way the show started.
You know, I just all of a sudden, because broadcasting has been interesting tonight, I got this strange thought that sometime I'm going to be getting ready to say words to music, and you're going to put on that song about I Want My Money.
Oh, yeah. The one. Did I tell you what I did?
No.
Okay. One of these, there's this woman on satellite TV, right?
Uh-huh.
Huge building. I mean, there had to be thousands of people listening to her. On the edge of their seats, they're listening to this stuff. I called in, you know how I like to call into the 800 numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
I called into the 800 numbers.
Harass all the people.
I don't harass them. I just ask questions. You know, but I played that song.
Oh, you did?
I did. I just play. I says, can I play some music for you? I says, it's inspired by Jesus. And, you know, she says, well, yes, I'd love to hear it. And I, you know, because it's only about 15, 20 seconds long.
Yeah.
You know, and then after I says, and she says, you're not one of us, are you? And I said, no, I'm one of them. And she says, the devil? And I says, no. I says, I'm one of those. And she says, well, if you're not with us and you're not with the devil, who could you possibly be with? And I said, Jesus. And I hung up the phone.
Oh, Lord.
So probably a person that will never send me a card.
No, that's right.
Okay, because we got a text here. It says, I love the show. I was getting this. People don't change direction if they believe they are right. We got an email here, okay? Because then it says, it says, T-Mobile still doesn't work. Last 3 weeks, we have been unable to text. Kitchen counter people. The company that provides the high-speed internet, they have contractual arguments all the time with cell phone companies. And so sometimes they have T-Mobile, sometimes Sprint doesn't work. The only one that seems to never have a problem with them is AT&T.
Hmm.
And this is over money. But that's why we have email. So I'm glad the kitchen counter people emailed. And by the way, your sister from Livermore, California, Sue, she called in, got another email here. This is from Sue. Thank you for the prayer. I've been experiencing the irregular heartbeat, so I believe that was for me, and my heart is perfect.
Good, good.
And we got another one here. It says, read on the show, how high can I get free from high blood pressure if I'm always exercising? Oh, how can I get away from high blood pressure if I'm always exercising? Just disregard it.
Yeah.
Just thank God that you can exercise and that your blood pressure is perfect. And thank God for more energy to exercise longer because your blood pressure is perfect. And ask Jesus to exercise with you, and because you want more people to exercise with you because now that your blood pressure is fixed. And then say, thank you very much for fixing this problem. It was about time that you got around to it. Amen.
Right.
Ooh, look at Ranger. Even Ranger. Wow. That's kind of different, isn't it? But you know, dog spelled backwards.
Yeah.
Apparently. Okay. Okay. Wow, what was that about?
That's really good.
I don't
this
even.
It's been a very different night.
This is the first time. I don't even know what to say to that.
Yeah.
But apparently Rager is all about it.
Yeah.
You know, if a dog likes it, it's got to be good.
That's right.
Wow.
Well, Father, I thank you for this broadcast tonight and everything that it means to those that are listening. I thank you that it inspires all of our faith. Encourages us, Lord, that it's only a speck of faith. And all these things that we've been looking at, these mountains, they really must not be what we think they are, if all of it takes is just a speck. I thank you, Lord, that today is a great day and tomorrow will be a new day for everybody. Everybody will be able to walk tomorrow in the presence of God and begin to put this into practice. And literally, just not have to be overwhelmed with the cares of this life. And let the anointing and the presence of God go with them. And not just in thought only, but experience it tomorrow. Feel no pain. Have no situations that cause your mind to be at dis-ease. And allow yourselves to be free and experience God all day. And then let us know and write us and share your testimony. And tell somebody what Jesus is doing for you. Father, I thank you for all this in your wonderful name. Amen.
Well, that's pretty good. I'm really curious to see how this show is received.
Yeah.
From the beginning, Ranger barking like that. We got a last email here from Wisconsin. It's from Lily the Lumber Lady. And it says, just a quick note. We'll see Jim in Eau Claire. Are you going up to Sherwoods?
I am. December 21st and 22nd.
We got to get him on the show.
Yeah.
About a week before you go, we'll get him on.
He did last night. He gathered together with his people. He sat at a table looking at all that came because they've had questions about absoluteness. And he told them, come with your best questions. And he sat at the table and just fielded questions and spit out answers of absoluteness. And he said it was awesome and extremely well received. How good is that?
That's great.
Yeah, we need to hear that.
Well, I told him to step up, you know.
Yeah, well.
Be brave.
Yeah, that's really
I said the
good.
Worst that can happen is they'll leave.
Yeah.
He got real quiet.
Yeah.
When I said, well, the worst thing that can happen, Sherwood, is they'll just walk out the door and they'll never come back.
Yeah, right.
He got real quiet.
Yeah.
And then I laughed and he says, you really don't care, do you? And I says, you can't care about that.
Yeah.
It isn't about us. It's about being specific and
that's
spot
right.
on. Just a quick note. We'll see Jim in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, December. Thank you for the show tonight. Words escape me at the moment. Well, that's what she says. So that's very sweet. And we got another one here. It says, good show tonight. The timing was perfect. Blessings. This is from Joseph.
Oh, good.
And if anybody else has just sent an email, we'll probably, I'll keep it till next week. We've been doing this for about 2 hours. It sure doesn't seem like it, does it?
Yeah, no, it went fast tonight.
I thought it went very fast tonight. And folks, we we really want you to take care of yourselves and your pets. It's very easy this time of year with major holidays and weather getting cold and spending more time at home. It's very easy to buy into things that might make you feel melancholy or make you feel that it's impossible to have a relationship with God. It's not. Don't let this time of year or the trappings of it make you think otherwise, because you're on the right track.
Excellent.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Ranger?
What else?
Good girl. As always, the dog says it best.